All right, on Wednesday, I talked about the importance of faith. If any of you that might have seen the Wednesday, we do the Wednesday evening kind of a message, kind of an update on what's going on, that kind of thing. But I was speaking out of James about faith when it comes to enduring adversity. But while the adversity is going on, there's two key areas for the Christian where faith makes all the difference: our worship and our walk. Our worship and our walk. Before we can walk, we've got to have that relationship right with God. Our worship has got to be in place. As we approach the reopening of our services on the 31st, it is important to re-examine our faith as it relates to these two areas. It's going to take some faith to go there, to come here, to go inside, to continue to worship our God. And so these two areas, our worship and our walk, are very important. And today we're just looking at one verse, Hebrews 11:4, although I'm going to be reading several other verses along the way. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 is our primary verse. This wind is wreaking havoc with my system here. There we go. Kind of got that straightened out. And so this week we're going to look at worship by faith. And then next week it's going to be talking about worshiping in our walk. What that faith looks like, because the Bible tells us in James, faith without works is dead. So we can have all the faith, all the worship we want, but if we're not out there doing it, if we're not living our faith, then it's really for nothing. And so this week about worship, next week about our walk. And so to get started, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. And so we see that there was an offering. This was way at the beginning. All you had basically was Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And I'm sure there were some other children of Adam and Eve on the scene by this time. But these are the four principles at this point in the Bible, is Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And they were worshiping God. And Abel comes and he makes a sacrifice to God. And Cain comes and he makes a sacrifice to God also. So they both believed in God. They both understood that God required something of them. And yet, the Bible tells us that Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. And so what we see here is in Genesis 4, 3 and 4, it says, in the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. And so what we see here is on the first subpoint under verse 4a, Abel's righteous offering promoted Jesus. Abel's righteous offering promoted Jesus. Now you may say, well when Abel, was on the scene, Jesus hadn't come yet. Well, that's true, but he understood there had to be a sacrifice. He understood that there was going to cost him something, and he understood the proper sacrifice, what had to be done to make peace with God. And so we see that Abel's righteous offering promoted Jesus. And what was his offering? It was a lamb. It was the firstborn of his flocks. And there was bloodshed, and there was sacrifice in order to receive salvation. You see, God had shown Adam the true way of worship. He had shown Adam and Eve the true way of worship. If you remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, they ran from God. They ran from God and they hid. And then here comes God, just like he always did. He always came in the cool of the day to be with Adam and Eve. And so here he comes, because you know what? God is faithful. He showed up every day, and they knew he was coming, and they hid because their sin caused them to do that. They knew they were guilty, and they could not face the living God. And so here they go. They go hide, and the Bible says they realized they were naked, so they covered themselves. You know, they found some big leaves. We say fig leaves. We really don't know exactly what the plant was, but they had these leaves. They tried to cover themselves. And if you've ever tried to use a plant leaf or something, they tear real easy. You know, they're not going to hold up. You know, it's really kind of futile, but that's kind of our attempts, isn't it? Our attempts are kind of futile in of ourselves to reach out to God. To cover ourselves is futile. But Adam and Eve needed to be covered. They needed to be covered. And it's a picture of our sin. Our sin needed to be covered. Their sin needed to be covered. And for that to happen, something had to die. Something had to die. And so what happened was, God, Bible tells us in Genesis, God killed an animal. God did. Adam and Eve didn't. God did. God chose a sacrifice and killed it and took the skins, and he made clothes for Adam and Eve that they would be covered. And just like something had to die for Adam and Eve to be covered, someone had to die for you and I and the world to be covered. For the sin of mankind to be covered, Jesus had to die. Jesus had to die. And you see, Abel understood this. He understood what God had said. And he took the first flock, the first of his flock, the best, and he took it and he killed it and sacrificed it. And the Bible says that God accepted that offering. And it's a picture of Jesus. You know, when Jesus died on the cross for your sin, my sin, the sin of the world, and we come and put our faith in him, God accepts that offering. Not our offering, Jesus' offering. He offered his life for you and me. And God accepts that offering every time. And Abel understood this, and he submitted to it. But we also have this other man, Cain. Cain's religious offering promoted Cain. You see, Abel's righteous offering promoted Jesus, but Cain's religious offering promoted Cain. Good works. It was Cain's effort, Cain's sweat, Cain's labor to make those crops grow. If anybody's ever raised a garden, or if maybe somebody was a farmer at one time, you know, that is a lot of work. Even to just do a smaller garden requires a lot of work. You're out there weeding, you're watering, things happen. You got to come out there and tend it. And you know, animals come and damage it, and all these things. It's a lot of work. And it's good work. You know, it's profitable work. You know, it's necessary work. But it doesn't buy you a relationship with God. Cain's effort, sweat, and labor to earn salvation ignored sacrifice. It ignored the shedding of blood that God said was necessary. And I use the word ignored because Cain knew the truth. He knew the truth just like Abel did. Let me read you Genesis 4, 5 through 7. It's a continuation. It's, you know, when we read about Abel and the first flock, firstborn of his flock, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But then in verse 5, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. He did not have regard for Cain's offering. Now, I'm sure Cain brought his offering there with a good heart and good intentions. He wanted to please God. But let me tell you something, just like when we try to please somebody, you know, when our children try to please us, you know, if I say take out the trash and the child cleans up his room, that doesn't necessarily please me because I didn't tell him to clean up his room. I told him to take out the trash and he didn't do it. So even though he did some work, you know what? I'm not pleased. And God had said, I require a sacrifice, a certain kind of sacrifice, in a certain way, in order to please me. And so he says he had no regard for Cain and his offering. And Cain was furious. He was angry. And he looked despondent. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you furious? Why are you low? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? You see, for me to say to you, if you do what is right, won't you be accepted? Doesn't that seem to point out the fact that I know you know what is right? You know, God doesn't give us a bunch of rules, or He doesn't hold us accountable to a bunch of rules that He hasn't given us. You know, we have this word. Wouldn't it be terrible for God to say, well, you disobeyed the Bible, and so I'm not going to let you in heaven, and He never gave us the Bible. If He had never given it to us, how could He expect us? If He's a just God, how could He expect us to obey it if we didn't have it? How could He expect Cain to offer the right offering if Cain didn't know? Cain knew what was right. And he says this, if you do right, won't you also be accepted? You know, if we just come to God on His terms, will be accepted. But God says, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Sin is crouching at the door. You know, any time we choose to violate Scripture, any time we choose to go against God, sin is crouching at the door. Satan is there, getting ready to grab you, to take you, to make you pay a price that God never intended you to pay. That's what happens when we disregard God's instruction. The bottom line is this. Cain's pride prevented him from coming to God any other way. His pride. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's Proverbs 14:12. Cain's pride. You know, he says, I'm going to come to you my way. That's pride. That's not submission. That's not submitting to the will of God. That's pride. And it's like so many people today. They just won't humble themselves. They just won't say, I need help to get to the Lord. They won't say it. There may be some out there, maybe some in this parking lot, maybe some watching on this feed, the stream. You know, maybe you've been trying to get to God your way. But there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. You know, the bottom line of this is, there's really only two religions. There's only two religions. Faith and works. That's it. You worship by faith, and God will accept you willingly. Just like Abel. He gave his sacrifice in faith, trusting that what God said, and you know what? God accepted Abel. But when you worship by works, you are trying to make God accept you on your terms. Look at what I did, God. Oh, I've gone to church every week, and I give my money, and I serve, and I do these things, and every time the doors are open, it's good, and I read my Bible, and all that. And, you know, Jesus had a saying for someone. He said, you know, there's going to be many, this is sad, there's going to be many that will say to me in that day, hey, I preached in your name. I did miracles in your name. And he says, but I'm going to tell them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. It's not about what we do, folks. It's about how we approach God. And we have to approach Him His way. We have to approach Him through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is how we have to approach the living God. Two religions. You're either believing that by faith, that Jesus is the door, okay? You either believe that, or you're going to work your way to heaven in your mind, only to be disappointed. Only in the end having to pay that price yourself. So Abel's righteous offering promoted Jesus, but Cain's religious offering promoted Cain. Next point, Abel's righteousness was by faith. It says, by faith he was approved as a righteous man. By faith he was approved as a righteous man. Do you understand? You know, Abel was just as much in need of salvation as Cain was. They both were. And through his faith and obedience in what God had said, he was declared righteous. And there's a, I'm going to turn back to Matthew and read a passage, if I can, if the wind will let me. I'm going to read a passage out of Matthew, Matthew 23, verses 27 through 35. And this is Jesus just coming down on the Pharisees, coming down on them. And he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every impurity. In the same way, on the outside, you seem righteous." You know, isn't that like today? And you got somebody comes to church every day and, you know, prays and does all this stuff. He seems righteous, okay, to people. He seems righteous to people, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets and you decorate the monuments of the righteous. And then you say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the prophets' blood." You see, their fathers had killed the prophets. God had sent prophets proclaiming truth, and they had killed him. And they were saying, "We would have never done that. If we had been there, we're righteous. We would have never done that." But Jesus said, "No, you are testifying against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets." He says, "Fill up then the measure of your father's sins. Snakes, brood of vipers, how can you escape being condemned to hell?" He says, "This is why I'm sending you prophets and sages and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify." You think maybe he was talking about himself at this point? "You will kill and crucify. And some of them you will flog in your synagogues and hound from town to town." You know, Paul was flogged in the synagogue. He was hounded. He'd go from town to town. They followed him. And he says, so, and then here's the key point. This is where Jesus brings it back. And he says, "So all the righteous blood shed on the earth will be charged to you, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar." See, he brings up the blood of righteous Abel. Abel's righteousness was by faith. He needed salvation just as much as Cain. We needed salvation just as much as the worst of anyone else that's in this world. But you can only get that through faith in Jesus Christ. Abel's righteousness was by faith. People will say sometimes, "How'd they get saved in the Old Testament? They didn't have Jesus." By faith. They believed that God was going to provide a sacrifice. They just looked forward to it. We look back on it. But it's by faith. You know, Abraham, it says his faith was accounted to him as righteousness. It's by faith we're saved, not of works, through grace, through faith. By grace we are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith, folks. It's faith. Next, Abel, offering was by faith. His righteousness was by faith. He was persecuted for his faith. Look at 1 John 3:11-12. "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. His brothers were righteous. Abel was persecuted for his faith. Cain was too proud to offer a blood sacrifice. Isn't this interesting? I want you to catch this. Cain was too proud to offer a blood sacrifice, yet he did not hesitate to shed the blood of his own brother. That just blows me away. Abel was persecuted for his faith. Because you see, folks, it costs to live by faith. There's a price to be paid. When you have faith in the Lord, when you live by faith, when you're walking by faith, when you're worshiping God in faith, there is a price. It's going to cost you something. John 15:20. Jesus said, "Remember the word I spoke to you. A slave is not greater than his master." You know, Jesus is the master. We're his slaves. You know, what did Paul write all the time? He said, at the beginning, he says, "I, Paul, a bondservant, a slave of Jesus Christ." He opened many of his letters that way. And it says, you know what? A slave, Jesus said, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They will also persecute you. Listen, it costs to live by faith. You know, we're talking about having services inside. We may get persecuted for it. I don't know. Hopefully not. There's going to be supposedly what I've seen, there's going to be like 3,000 churches on May 31st. Pentecost Sunday. And they're going to open. Don't know. Don't know what's going to happen. Don't know what the fallout's going to be on that. But I do know one thing. Bible tells us don't forsake the gathering together. Especially as the day comes closer. Because you know what? We're going to need to be able to encourage one another. We're going to need to be able to sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes others need encouragement from us. Our faith is going to be exposed. We've been blessed in this country. We've been able to do religiously what we want. You know, worship as we see fit. I think maybe these days are over. We may be like all the other countries we read about where the church is persecuted. It may be finally coming to America. Question is, where's your faith? Do you have faith? Our faith will be revealed. It's revealed in adversity. It's revealed in the testing. Abel was persecuted for his faith. And the Bible says that we will be too, in some way, shape, or form. Lastly, Abel is still preaching through his faith. It says, even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. You know, look at this whole message today was about Abel. He spoke today. He spoke today. His faith was recorded in the Word of God and mentioned by Jesus and others in the Word of God many times. He's still speaking to us through his faith. Every person, see, Abel's still preaching through his faith, and you know what? Every one of us is leaving a message. Every one of us is preaching a message. Every person leaves this world a message. Cain's message was, I worship my way. I worship my way. Abel's message was, I worship God's way. I worshiped God's way. So what exactly is worship? Worship is our direct acknowledgement to God of His nature, of His attributes, of His ways, of His promises, of His commands. We're acknowledging that He is God, and we worship out of a heart, out of our heart, in praise, in thankfulness to Him, and we worship by our obedience and service to Him as well. That's why we'll be talking next week about works, about our walk. Okay? Worship in our walk, not just our faith. But we worship by our obedience and service as well. And when we worship God, we ascribe worth to Him. And the sacrifices we bring, both material or immaterial, are an indication of that worth. In faith, Abel brought his best and worshiped God's way. And you know what? So should we. We should just bring our best. Doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be anything spectacular. Just worship as God leads you. Just be obedient, submissive to Him. And you know what? That's all He's asking. He's just asking us to trust Him. Abel brought his best. He worshiped according to God's guidance. And so should we. So should we. This is the invitation today. Abel is saying to you, man comes to God by faith, not works. Man comes to God by faith, not works. You may be what we would all call a good person. But the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. I'd like to think that I'm a good person, but I know in my heart who I am. I know what I've done, what I've said, what I've thought. And all of that falls short of God. Every bit of it falls short of God. Man comes to God by faith, not works. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Man must accept and obey God's revelation. What's His revelation? Jesus Christ is revelation of God. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. And He says, come to Me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Are you burdened under your sin? Have you been trying to work your way to heaven? Are you just burning out? You don't have to do that. Just rest in Jesus. Trust in His sacrifice. Place your faith in His sacrifice. So if you are sitting here hearing these words and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I invite you to do so. It's very simple. Just admit to God you're a sinner and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ came and paid the price for your sin. He died on the cross for you. He rose again in victory on the third day. God raised Him from the dead. And if you believe that and you ask God to save you, you know what? He will. He will forgive you. He will save you. And He'll adopt you into His family. What a great God. What a loving God. What a compassionate God. So if you are without the Lord right now, you do not have to go another minute apart from God. He's ready to forgive you even now. For the rest of us, those that name the name of Jesus, faith is a form of worship. Now let me ask you a question. It's a question for you to consider. Faith is a form of worship, okay? Now let me ask you a question. Do you bring your worship to church? Or do you come to church to worship? Think about that. Do you bring your worship to church? Or do you just worship when you're here? Something to think about. Another question. Do you have an area where your faith is weak? You know, are there some places where, you know, you trust Him with your relationships, but man, you just can't trust Him with your money. Or maybe you can't trust him with your job. Or, you know, it's funny how we as Christians, we can trust him with our eternity. You know, I can trust him that I'm not going to hell, but I can't trust him enough to pray. Or I can't trust him enough to have it spill over into my job or my relationships, or I don't know, you fill in the blank. You know, where is your faith weak? Where is it weak? What's God bringing to your mind right now? This will be your time to think about that. Last question. Are you worshiping your way or God's way? I've done a lot of things in my life, and some of the things were my way, some of the things were God's way. And I have to say, 100%, his ways are better than my ways. I know that 100%. I know that 100%. His ways are better than my ways. In another place in the Old Testament, it says his ways are higher than our ways. You know, we don't even know. I mean, when he does something in our life, it doesn't make sense to us. It's not something we choose. But yet, somehow, some way, he makes it happen to where I benefit. His ways are higher than my ways. As John the Baptist once said, he must increase, I must decrease. I hope and pray we'll just have an attitude of worship. Always realizing who God is, what he's done on our behalf, that we can worship and walk in this world in a way that's pleasing to him, that was acceptable to him. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for Abel. I thank you, Lord, for the message he left us, that he still speaks to us through your word. Father God, help us to be more like him, just unwavering in faith, trusting you in, for every aspect of our lives, Lord, no matter what happens, whether it be good or bad, whether it be long life or short life, whether it be prosperous life or perhaps a life of hardship. But Lord God, may our worship always be directed toward you. May we always be thankful and grateful for you and what you have done. And Father God, if there's anybody here, if there's anybody watching, if there's anybody listening, and they don't know you as Savior, Lord God, I pray they would just say a simple prayer of, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus rose from the dead, and Lord, I pray you'd save me. And Lord God, if they would do that, Lord, I know you are faithful, and you would save them. And for the rest of us, Lord, if we've got areas in our life where we're weak, Lord God, I pray that you would strengthen us, that you would help us, and Lord, that we would be willing to walk in faith, that we'd be willing to step out of the boat, so to speak, onto the waves, into the storm, and trust you with our very lives, Lord. Help us to do that, that you would be pleased, that we would benefit, that the kingdom would grow. And I ask you, Lord, to do this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. How's your faith? I pray that you'll consider that, ask God to reveal it to you, and then act upon what he reveals. I pray you have a great week this week. God bless you. Take care. We'll see you next week.